At a time when investors are confronted with market volatility and a variety of challenges fueled by the uncertainty of inflation, unsettled geopolitical tensions, and economic pressures, Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. This is InvestTalk, independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, April 1st, 2024 edition. And newsflash, there will not be an April Fool's joke on this show, so don't worry. But what we will be doing is taking the current markets very seriously and your financial future very seriously. That's what this is about. But answering your finance and investment questions, bringing you the perspective that helps you make good decisions with your money. Having the right frame of mind. That's what's most important. Not letting your emotions and biases creep into your decision-making process. It's so easy to allow headlines, allow your past experiences to color your thinking. And the reality is that the future can look somewhat like the past, but more often than not, it looks more like the distant past than the recent past. And so it's very important for you to have the right frame of mind when going into these decisions every day, every week, every year. And that's what we are to help you with, giving you the right data and perspective with developed by over 20 plus years of investment experience and studying market history on different types of timeframes, different market regimes that have happened throughout history, both in the short term, cyclically, as well as long term, secularly. Okay. So our job is always to unpack all of that and distill it down to something that is actionable and educational for you. Now, before we get into the calls and questions for today's show, let's talk about the InvestTalk Market Madness contests. Tomorrow, we have the third set of matchups for the Sweet 16. And today, we had two sets of matchups for the Sweet 16. I'll give you those winners in a second. The finals are coming up next Monday, a week from today. So this is going to wrap up rather quickly. And tomorrow we have Mettler Toledo International versus Lululemon and Equitable Holdings versus Home Depot. Now, today's winners were Vertiv, as well as Cytokinetics, and then Century Aluminum, and then Core and Main, the one with some of the strongest momentum in this contest. Didn't have an amazing day. It was only up 3 cents, but it's counterpart was down with the broader market. And so, you know, sometimes it's not just about having big gains in one particular day. It's about just holding ground as well. And that's what Core and Main did. Cytokinetics was up big. Vertiv, I think that one was also down, but it was down less than its counterpart. Very interesting to see as we get to the final handful of names. We'll be sending out soon an update to everyone on the leaderboard as well. So ensure that you are in the loop and download every podcast each day for in-depth analysis and daily results. Now, we're going to talk about the market performance for today and run down some show topics right after we answer our first caller question. It is from YouTube. If you've been listening for the past couple of weeks, you'll know that we are now recording all episodes in video and posting them on YouTube. We share screens and data that we're looking at when we have caller questions come in, etc. So and then you can go and leave your question in the comments as well. So JLE Know the Future says, and I love this question, in some of my research I ran across a chart that showed the cumulative returns for 25 years ending 12/31/2023, so end of last year, not counting the continuation of performance of gold bullion, 617% versus the S&P of 288%. And according to Bloomberg, considering dividends reinvested, gold bullion still outperformed the S&P index by 99%, respectively. And the simple answer to your question is yes, that is true. Take the end of last year, go back 25 years, the cumulative return of gold in US dollars, 622%. And the S&P total return index, 518.4%. And you're going to say, wow, gold, what, it's outperforming the S&P. Well, let's just, instead of going to near the end of the 90s, let's go back to the beginning of the 90s. And I'm going to put in the start date range of 12/31/1989, the very end of the 1980s and the start of the 1990s, up until the end of last year. And it looks very, very different. Gold price from the start of the 1990s, up 421%. Good return, right? Over about, it's about 34 years or so, 33 years, 421%. Good return, not an amazing return, but good return. The S&P, 2,600% return, drastically outperforming gold. So what that teaches you, it's not to say, oh, you just buy the S&P and that's going to be better, because clearly when in the, at the end of the 1998, which is the first data point we talked about, that was near, not at the peak, but near the peak. And that shows you as well, this, we're not cherry picking the peak in markets. 1999 was amazing for equities, especially the NASDAQ, obviously the S&P, this isn't the S&P, or the S&P didn't do quite as well, excuse me, in 99, but clearly it was a time where the markets were overvalued more broadly. And that had a big detrimental impact on future returns for markets. So that shows you what? That valuations matter. They matter. On an aggregate basis, when you're looking at index as a whole, but also from an individual stock basis as well. Remember that S&P performance is being made up of hundreds of stocks. And a lot of those drastically underperformed over the subsequent 25 years. And underperformed gold. So you can cherry pick data very easily and find periods where one asset does well versus another. But that doesn't tell you a whole lot about what you should invest in today. You have to assess the market, the economy, the broader macro picture, both globally and domestically. And so I wanted to highlight those different periods because it all depends on your starting place, and it's very easy to cherry pick. So try to avoid allowing those data points to color your thinking too dramatically, because you have to understand it in context. Now we're going into a break. On the other side, we'll have a live call, and I will talk about today's market activity and our planned topics for this next hour. But please remember that you can call anytime and leave your questions on the Invest Talk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to, or should I sell it?
Their questions are curious.
Hello, I have saved up around $80,000, and I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
Oh, I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
It does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein, Steve Peasley, and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. In today's market, more than ever, you need unbiased investing guidance because it can help you achieve financial freedom. Well, you've come to the right place, Invest Talk. And Justin Klein is here now taking your calls live. So step up with your questions, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Mark in San Diego. He wants to talk about oil.
Yes, I got some ETFs and all at a 52-week high, including the expiration ETFs. Mm-hmm. And was wondering if it's time to take some profits or just hang on for the long term.
Are you talking about like an OIH or an XLE?
I got like the Vanguard Energy ETF, VDE, and the expiration XOP.
Got it. Okay.
And a bunch of single oil stocks that are the big blue chips like Exxon and Chevron too.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, for most of 2022, oil drastically outperformed. And last year it underperformed because oil prices, they kind of languished. You know, they were down on the year, not dramatically, I think around 10% or so, somewhere in that range. And the oil stocks languished as well. But now you're starting to see some relative strength. And I think it's early on, frankly. And if the dollar gets any weakness going forward, I think that's certainly going to supercharge oil prices. So I wouldn't be too quick to trim your position. Now, if you're too dramatically overweight, you know, 25% plus of your portfolio in energy, then this is a time to trim some names. But I still think we're early on in this move in commodities and materials, et cetera. So I wouldn't be too aggressive in selling unless you're drastically overweight.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 40 minutes or so. And our main focus point is about how the bull market could potentially unravel. And this is an analyst that I largely agree with. Sometimes I don't agree with these analysts. And just because we highlight a discussion point doesn't mean that I 100% agree with an analyst's assessment. This one, I mostly do. And really, it's about the balancing act between the treasury, the oil market, and how that potentially could impact things like regional banks once again. So we're going to talk about the bull markets versus a bear market and how the U.S. Treasury market is certainly going to play into how long this current rally can sustain itself. Okay. We also want to talk a bit about the fiscal impulse. Fiscal dominance, shall we say? Fiscal dominance is here. And the question is, how far can it really take the economy? Yes, government spending is here to stay. Probably no matter who is in the White House in November, or I guess they'd be sworn in January. But it's really about, is this something that you can be confident in sustainability of growth in the economy. Okay, so we're going to look at that. Also, private credit, leverage loans, private credit. This is an area that has grown dramatically in an era of low interest rates. And while there were some issues in 2022, they've largely been painted over, especially with a very tight credit spreads that are not pretending to a major credit event in the near future. But we're going to talk about private credit more long term and you know how that might impact your portfolio, especially those that have an account at some of the larger brokerage firms out there, advisors that have an advisor. I think the Merrill and Morgans of the world, I'm sure there's more, but a lot of them pitch private credit. And we're going to talk about the sustainability of that space. And then lastly, if we have time, mutual funds. Mutual funds are been around a long time, but ETFs have certainly encroached on their business. And, you know, what place do mutual funds still have in our investment world? So we're going to look at that. Also, we have voice bank questions. One is in regards to INSP, Inspire Medical Systems, that we'll get to as well. And of course, most importantly, your finance and investment questions now. So give us a call. Our phone lines are open waiting for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go talk to Jason in Illinois, looking at Carnival Cruise Line. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I was looking to buy it.
Okay. What's attracting you to this name?
Well, I know it's got debt, but they've been doing they've been beating their estimates every quarter. It looks like they got a clear path to eventually pay it down, and I'm just wondering if it's a good price right now. Is it a cheap value, or is it just too risky to buy right now?
Well, I wouldn't say it's cheap or expensive. Enterprise value to EBITDA is right around 10 or so, which is, let's see, how does that compare to the long-term average? Just pulling this up here. Yeah, the median over the last 5 years is around 9. Pre-pandemic, it was trading around 7 to 8 range, and now we're at 10. So, you know, it's a little bit higher. And remember, enterprise value includes that debt. So if you're just going based on market cap to its EBITDA, its earnings, et cetera, it's not far off. But if you're adding in that amount of debt that it has, about $30 billion in long-term debt, I think that's an issue, especially if interest rates take off once again. So I just think there's better risk versus rewards here. The technicals are so-so. You're just starting to see it roll over once again. I think that has a lot to do with the interest rates surging pretty nicely today. And you're never going to get back to where it was pre-COVID. And mainly because they issued so many shares. They almost doubled their number of shares outstanding since before COVID. Before COVID, it had about 700 million shares outstanding. Now it's 1.3 billion. So don't ever think you're going to get back to those levels. There's just been too much dilution of shareholders since then and debt layered on. So, the business long-term is okay, but there's just too much volatility here, and you just have better uses of your capital. So I'd move on.
Okay. Thank you, Justin.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, let's take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly red day overall. You had the S&P that was down about 10.5 points, so not a big day, a big down day. But the big news was really in the bond market. The PCE number came out on Friday. Market was closed. There wasn't a lot of reaction until today, and you saw a pretty nice surge in the 10-year that closed around 1.2 on Thursday and closed today around 4.2, and closed today around 4.33. So about a 13 basis point surge in yields, which is pretty high, pretty big move for the bond market. And you saw small caps take the brunt of that, and you see that usually when interest rates do rise, you get small caps that suffer more than large caps. And that's certainly what happened today. It was fairly balanced between growth and value, but I would say a minor outperformance by value, not in a big way, but in a minor way today. What were some big movers? Tesla was down a little bit. Apple was down a little bit. Walgreens Boots Alliance, a name that's been struggling for some time under debt loads. And you see this, that was down about 10% today. Warning about that, companies that have a lot of debt, you want to make sure you do your best to avoid many of them. Trump Media, that was down about 21% today. Let's see, Frontier, the airline, down about 11% today. Yeah, so that was the market. Modest down day as we begin the second quarter. So we'll be interested to see where the bond market heads from here. And that will certainly have potentially have a major impact on markets as a whole. Now, my main focus point today concerns this question. Could the bull market unravel? And that's what everyone's kind of worrying about. But what are the catalysts here? What are the catalysts that could unravel this bull market? Because certainly from a technical perspective, it's strong. Right? Asset prices are headed higher. And while there could be a near-term pullback, the question is, like I said, what is that catalyst? And according to Larry McDonald, he is an author, and he's saying that another spike in inflation could be could have major repercussions throughout the U.S. economy, and the answer is certainly true, which would push up long-term bond yields and put pressure on different parts of the economy that are already interest rate sensitive. We know that with the regional banks, the BTFP program is now expired, so they don't have that really to turn to. The question is how many of them have right-sized their balance sheet in order to avoid a redux of last spring. That's a big question. And one thing he does say is that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is, quote, very dangerously but brilliantly issuing a lot of short-term debt to fund the U.S. government, and that's certainly true. They're moving to the short end of the yield curve in order to finance government deficits, because when they move to the long end, that takes balance sheet capacity off of investors and pushes up those long rates and has a has a bad effect on the overall asset prices in the economy. So the big question is, will oil prices, this resurgence in oil prices, copper prices, silver, gold, all of this put upward pressure on inflation expectation and thus the long end of the yield curve, which will eventually tighten financial conditions, will hurt the middle class and potentially trigger a recession? And the answer is, yeah, that is the risk. Okay. Now we're heading into a break, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today.
This is InvestTalk. Please tell your friends and family members that they can download our weekday podcast for free anytime at investtalk.com or iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And when you download and listen, please be sure to rate our podcasts. Our anytime listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
Deleterious, by the way. Deleterious was the word I was looking for. Deleterious effect on the economy. Anyway, on the next Invest Talk, we will look into this topic. Why cash may be riskier than you think. That story is tomorrow, and I love this one. So I'm excited for tomorrow's show. And I'm also excited to go talk to James from New York. He's looking at GDX, the gold mining ETF. You own it or looking to buy it?
No, I own it, and I'm up presently 15%. And just trying to maybe set a realistic goal on maybe a level of where to take profit. But it seems like gold may just be getting started. I'm not certain on that. But what would be a good price level to start to think about taking profits from GDX?
Well, I do think that gold is just getting started. It is overbought near term. So, you know, consolidation phase, pullback phase would not shock me. But, you know, 2,500 on gold price, that was an area that I would say, okay, maybe that's where you take a little bit of profits on GDX. But remember, the sentiment around gold and gold miners just a couple of months ago was very negative. And so I think there's a lot of room for this to run to the upside because of that lack of positioning by investors. You know, so many people crowded into the AI stocks and have ignored kind of the harder assets, and those harder assets are just started to gain traction as of late. So I wouldn't be too quick to jump ship quite yet or rebalance, especially if it's not a large part of your portfolio.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on something that related to gold in many ways, and that is the fiscal dominance that we have in our overall economies. And the traditional relationship the market has with the Fed and the broader economy, a broader market, excuse me, are being really overwhelmed by the fiscal forces. And data says that bigger government deficits translate into higher corporate profits, traditionally. And that raises stock prices. That's why I say, and that's part of the discussion tomorrow, which, you know, cash is riskier than you think because inflation brings higher earnings for corporations, which brings higher stock prices. Now, that's true up until a point. Because right now we have a deficit of around 6% of GDP. That's rare outside of a crisis period or major recession. So that amount of deficit is going to have an impact on the economy. On a nominal basis, that pushes up economic growth. Now, on a real basis, that's another question. Now, so far, the fiscal impulse over the past couple of years has mainly been driven by two things. Historical deficits that were pushed up by every administration since you can remember. And then things like the Inflation Reduction Act, passed in January of 2022. Or took effect, excuse me, of January 2022, U.S. manufacturing construction spending grew 52% on a compound rate. That's high. It's very high. And so government contribution to the GDP growth has been higher than usual, as you would expect. It's about 1% higher than baseline over the last 60 plus years. But once again, it works until it doesn't. It only goes so far. And there's a study by the Brookings Institute, and it says that recently it's actually been a fiscal drag because remember, you have to grow the deficit. Remember, the economy is about growth in the economy. And while spending money and having a deficit can put a floor under aggregate demand, it doesn't supply growth beyond the underlying potential for the economy. And if that money is spent unwisely, it can actually have a drag on growth overall. And one big difference between today's deficit and yesterday's deficit, when I say yesterday, the proverbial yesterday, is that it's more about government interest payments and less about building bridges. And that ultimate impact is very different. If you build a bridge, you pay a construction worker. You pay an engineer. You pay all the people that are involved in that project. If you pay interest expense, it might go to some individuals that own some treasuries. But largely, it goes to bond funds and investors in foreign governments. And far fewer of those people are taking those dollars and going out there and spending it compared to that construction worker and that engineer that you got to hire for the bridge. So the propensity to consume is not that great when you're spending mostly on interest payments. And you're already starting to see the growth of that spending slow. Manufacturing construction is already slowing from more than 80% year over year in the middle of last year to 37% as of this January. And state and local governments, they're also not spending either. Fell 1% for the first month since August of 2022. So while near-term markets are pretty optimistic about growth, and I think you probably should be, over the longer term, that fiscal impulse is not going to be as durable as an economy that is built with sound structure. Because you can't continue to grow the deficit infinitum. It has to stop somewhere. Either by politicians that stop it, or by the markets that take away the printing press. And ultimately, I think it's probably going to be the latter. You just see that with the trends longer term. And that doesn't mean that the market has to take it away tomorrow or next year. It could be a decade from now. But don't underestimate the power of the fiscal purse in the short to medium term. So don't get overly bearish until you start to see signs that the market is truly taking away that printing press. Now let's pivot back to the InvestDoc Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier at 888-99-CHART.
Good evening, guys. This is Griff from Iowa. Calling about two medical device companies that are essentially direct competitors with one another, Inspire Medical Systems, INSP, and ResMed, RMD. The two biggest players in the implantable sleep apnea game. And I was calling to get your analysis on a compare and contrast to the pros and cons of each of the company and to see which one you would choose or if you would choose either and what your entry point target would be. Thanks. Take care. Best to Steve.
All right. Looking at ResMed and Inspire Medical Systems. ResMed and Inspire Medical Systems. Now, ResMed is one of the largest respiratory care device companies globally and has a market cap of about $27.5 billion, almost $28 billion. Whereas Inspire is only about $6 billion. And it's understandable why. You're talking about, let's see, I'm just looking at the revenue here. You have Inspire, about $600 million in revenue, and ResMed, about $4.5 billion in revenue trailing 12 months. And ResMed's been around a long time, been far more profitable. Return to equity right now is around 21%. Its longer-term average is right around 22%. So long-term, it's a very profitable business. Low 20s, that's a good business. Whereas Inspire, negative 4%. Longer-term average is negative 19%. So, you know, it's improving, but it's still negative. And you're betting a lot on, you know, this company surpassing ResMed, taking market share from ResMed. And you look at the chart, Inspire's relative strength is 50. And ResMed is, it's also 50. So It's pretty, you know, similar in that way from a technical perspective. But the business, like I said, of ResMed is just far, far better. So if I'm picking one or the other, I'm picking ResMed. Good business. Valuations, it's probably still a little expensive, frankly. So I'm not jumping at the chance to buy it today. But if I'm buying one or the other, it's definitely ResMed. Thanks for the call. Now, whenever possible, we'd like to play two in a row for you from the 24/7 Voice Bank.
Hey, Justin and Luke, Bill from Philadelphia here. I'm calling about AGNC Investment, ticker AGNC, trading under $10 now. I understand that the yield on it, the dividend is pretty large, so I'm not really calling about that, if that's sustainable or not, because it probably isn't. But I just wanted to get your thoughts as a possible buy here with regards to price movement upwards once the Fed starts cutting rates. It seems like it's very rate sensitive, so I was thinking it could be a good buy for some appreciation here on the stock itself. Wanted to get your guys' thoughts and love what you guys do. Looking forward to hearing your response on the show. Thanks a lot.
All right, looking at AGNC Investment Corp, and this is a mortgage REIT. There are a handful of these out there in the marketplace, and people buy into them typically to get that nice, juicy dividend, which currently 14.7%, and you're going to say, oh my God, 14.7%? That sounds amazing. Well, it's amazing only in the sense that your core your principal will continue to dwindle and decline throughout the years because it's just not sustainable. This stock peaked out around $37 per share back in 2012, and now it's at $9.80. And yes, throughout that time, it's paid a lot of dividends. So you might be up over that time, but definitely not up more than the overall market. And the way you want to think about these is they are very specialized banks. They borrow money in the short term, and they go and buy mortgages of some type. Now, sometimes they're commercial mortgages, sometimes they are residential mortgages, sometimes they are Fannie and Freddie mortgages, and it looks like that's all they buy, the Fannie and Freddie mortgages, which means their margins are tighter. Okay, so they're going to be more sensitive to the move in interest rates, because their borrowing costs go up and down with short-term rates. And this rallied recently pretty strongly because the Fed pivot starting in right around Halloween time. And that was when the Fed kind of announced, or you know, the market started front run a Fed pivot to potentially lower rates this year. Now they haven't done that and they continue to talk about it. And this stock has kind of languished since mid-December. So it had that big move and it's been kind of going sideways since. And the simple answer here is it's not worth it, especially if you're in the belief, which I am, that in the back half of the year, inflation's likely to potentially head higher and those three rate cuts may not be on the table by year end. And that would certainly have a deleterious effect on the price of this stock. So I think you need to look elsewhere. It's just not worth the headache and the risk that the Fed doesn't ease as much as they've been prognosticating. And so I would pass on all the mortgage REITs. I've never been a big fan of them. And especially in a time like this, I would certainly move on. Find something else. Definitely a lot more options out there. All right, let's talk a little bit about today's matchups for the InvestTalk Market Madness. And the first one is going to be, find this here. I have it. There we go. Metzler Toledo. It was actually up a little bit today. Bullish consolidation. I like the chart pattern as we go into tomorrow. Lulu. That was down today. Momentum is down. I'm going to go with Metzler Toledo for tomorrow's. This is the consumer region of the InvestTalk Market Madness. And then EQH Equitable Holdings, that one was down today. It's certainly overbought. And then Home Depot was down big today, $15. Certainly some poor momentum. We are in the 50-day moving average on the, this is tough. I'm going to go with Equitable Holdings. I just don't like that reversal on Home Depot. That looks like it has topped today, potentially on higher interest rates. So I'm certainly excited for tomorrow's matchup. And then Wednesday, we have the final round of the Sweet 16, which would be the income bracket, which we'll preview tomorrow. And then we head into the Elite Eight. And that will be on Thursday. And then the final four matchups on Friday and the final matchup on Monday. Now we're going to a short break, and our work continues after this final break. So get your calls in now or anytime at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is here to help. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Mark from the Carolinas. I got a quick stock question about DEC, Diversified Energy Company, PLC. Just want to get your take on this one. It looks like they got good ROE, good ROI, and they're sitting below 20, 50, and 200 moving averages. So yeah, wanted to get your take on this one. Thanks. I'll listen to the show.
Well, sitting below the major moving averages is certainly not a good thing. And this is Diversified Energy Company, about $868 million in revenue, a $581 million market cap, but about $1.3 billion in long-term debt. And what you're doing here is you're chasing this yield, 28% dividend yield, 28%. Does anyone think that is sustainable? Anyone? Anyone? Simple answer is no. Okay. So, and even if it is, what's happening here? Are they issuing debt in order to pay that dividend? Are they issuing shares in order to pay that dividend? And the simple answer is what it looks like is yes. Right, pre-COVID, they had 5 million, let's see, 20, we'll go to right before COVID. At about 32 million shares outstanding. Now it's at 47 million shares outstanding. Their long-term debt is now $1.3 billion. And that continues to march higher. Pre-COVID, it was at about $600 billion. They doubled their debt. They're dramatically increasing the share count. And they haven't raised their dividend in a while. And that is the market telling you that this business is going to, or this company is going to cut their dividend. This is not a good look here. You're just chasing the yield. I don't know how many times I can say it. But when you go and you look at a company that's in a downtrend, and you see a very high dividend yield, this is the market sending a signal. It's in a downtrend for a reason. You think other people aren't looking at that high dividend yield and saying, oh, that looks attractive? You think you're the only one that sees that? No, you're not. But you may be the only one that's not paying attention to the balance sheet, the cash flow, the sustainability of their business. Now, what does Diversified Energy do? It's an E&P company in the Appalachian Basin. Owns some midstream assets. I don't hate the business. It seems like a fine business. I just hate the balance sheet. And it's been a poor allocator of capital. And that return on equity looks high today, but what's the history of its profitability? Pre-2021, it was consistently negative, also very volatile. all over the place. I'm trying to find a chart here that's a little more normalized because it's so volatile. But yeah, it's just all over the place, and because it has so much debt. So I would stay far away from DEC, Diversified Energy Corp. Well, I think that about does it. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember, you can check out every episode now over on our YouTube channel. You can see the charts that I'm looking at, the data for each individual company, future earnings, past earnings, revenue, etc. So a lot to take a look at, and you can make some comments and ask your questions in the comment section as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.